Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with your co-hosts Matthew Davis and Matt Kupferle.
21 of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. My name is Matthew Davis, and I'm joined as usual with my co-host Matt Kupferle. And today we are going to discuss one of the three final fab periods for the fantasy baseball season. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm good, man. It's we're getting our last few days of the summer, I believe. It's going to be in the 90s here today and tomorrow, which is perfect grilling, smoking weather outside. And then it is moving to like highs of mid-60s here, which is gorgeous in September. So I'm pretty jazzed about it, and I'm jazzed about this home stretch of 3 weeks to go. Feels like a long time ago we were debating whether we would even get to do this podcast and have a baseball season, and now we've gotten almost 7 weeks of baseball. So pretty fun stuff.
Yeah, and it seems like everything's starting to get a little bit more smooth as the season carries on, and I know that MLB is working on some plans right now for the playoffs, so they might be doing some neutral sites, or they're going to be doing that. So that'll be something interesting to see how they end up sorting all of that out. So getting into the fab, let's start with the schedule because it is massive this week. With three teams playing 9 games, three teams playing 8 games, and you have 4 teams playing 5 games. So the discrepancy there is rather large. When looking at the Athletics, Marlins, and Phillies, they get 9. The teams that get 8 games are the Cardinals, Rangers, and Tigers. And the teams that only get 5 games are the Brewers, Dodgers, Pirates, and White Sox. So in my fab piece that's going to be coming out today, it's going to pretty much emphasize on the offensive side that if you have any players on the teams that only have 5 games, and it's someone that's somewhat fringe, like a Nomar Mazara, or maybe somebody on the Brewers like Luis Urias, or somebody like that that's just not, you know, ultimately helping you out right now, they're going to be a cut moving forward, or at least for this week. And you're going to want to look for somebody on the Athletics or the Marlins or the Phillies or even the Cardinals, Rangers, and Tigers, because they have 3 to 4 more games than those teams. And the volume alone is going to be huge for you, especially with all the categories and statistics in each league and in the overall contest being so close. So you're going to need that volume. So that's basically what we're going to be diving into today.
Yeah, no, a really good point, Matthew. It's this schedule quirkiness is hard to figure out. And hopefully, we'll get all that volume of games, but it looks pretty promising. And that, like you mentioned, your article is a great piece. Please go check that out over at ftnfantasy.com. Matthew's piece comes out every Sunday. Tons of good names in here that we're going to run through in audio form. But some great call-outs that you've got here between hitters and pitchers, 15-team, et cetera. So a very, very good point. Are you ready to dive into some of the names you got listed?
Yeah, and so I will, after we discuss things, I have all the guys in the 15 team and for hitting and pitching basically dumped into the $1 to $9 bucket here. And some of them, after we discuss, I'll move them into the 1% to 5% range. But there isn't anybody really that, looking at league budgets and whatnot, it's going to be hard pressed for me to project any player to be going for more than $50 on the offensive side. I'm sure there are leagues with guys that have $500+ and they're just ready to pounce. And so you might see outliers like that, but for the most part, on average, I don't think that these guys, when you get an aggregate of all the budgets that get placed on them, I don't think that any of these guys are going to have an average budget of, above 1% to 5%, which is above $50. So after we talk about them, we'll move some a little bit higher up to the 1% to 5% range. But for the most part, there's not a 6 to 9% range or a 10 to 15% range. If you're familiar with reading the article, there's not really going to be budget allocations this week anywhere past $50 because of how dry budgets are.
Yeah, there's definitely a nuance as you get later in your leagues. There's definitely some people that have fab left, and certainly they're going to be able to bully their way around with some of those bids. But the majority of us, I think, I've spent a lot of our fab, Matthew, so we just will need to be aware of that, but there's still definitely some players to be had. So let's dive on in, Matthew. I want to get your thoughts on 15-team, ownership, you know, sub 50% hitters. Some really interesting names that stick out to me. Adam Duvall cranked his ninth home run yesterday, just continues to hit the cover off the ball in a Braves offense that's gotten Ronald Acuna back now at this point. You got Alex Dickerson, who went crazy in the Coors series. But I think it'd be unfair just to say, you know, he went crazy in the Coors series because he's actually hit five home runs over the last 14 days. So he becomes a little bit more of an interesting piece of the puzzle. And then a plethora of other names within that group. For me, a guy like Miles Straw of our beloved Houston Astros sticks out, but he's been playing and playing well. Oscar Mercado has been having a little bit of a resurgence. You called out Roman Quinn last week, and he swiped, I think, two bases on Friday night. Who do you pick out, Matthew, among that group, and who do we want to dive into maybe a little bit deeper on the hitter side?
So to touch on Roman Quinn real quick, I'm upset at myself for mentioning him last week and talking about needing speed because everybody needs speed, and then I ended up missing out on him in most of my leagues. So that was a bummer to see. And then yesterday, I think that he left the game, or he did leave the game after coming in for Bryce Harper. When he was ejected, he left the game with a concussion, so that's something to monitor today to see if he's in the lineup. And if not, then maybe temper your expectations or not put any bids on him, especially if he goes on the IL, then he's not worthy of an addition. He's actually a cut. But so these guys that we have here are all going to be kind of just in different little areas because of what they can do. So guys like Roman Quinn and Leody Taveras, they're going to be able to get you Cedric Mullins. They're going to be able to get you speed, or we're hoping they're going to be able to give you speed. And then you're going to have a couple guys similar like to Shogo Akiyama and Jose Garcia. They might be able to give you a little bit of speed as well. And then you have guys like Jay Bruce, Nick Markakis, that you're looking for, you know, a little bit of pop and some RBIs. Alex Dickerson is kind of a blend of both, and he's hitting second in the Giants lineup. So once, you know, once we kind of look at all these guys and throw them into a blender, maybe Alex Dickerson does kind of climb up a little bit and go to that 1% to 5% range. Andrelton Simmons is another person that I think that should go up a little bit and be above these guys. He's now getting some burn at the leadoff spot for the Angels, and he looks phenomenal since coming back from his ankle injury. Oscar Mercado was called up. He's another speedster. If he sticks in that lineup, maybe he's able to provide some speed. He stole a base on Saturday. So there's just a plethora of different guys that I don't think are going to cost a ton of money. I know that Dalton Varsho, the Arizona Diamondbacks in general, are starting to give their young guys a lot more playing time, guys like Josh Rojas, Dalton Varsho, and Young as well. And then you have some of the Tigers like Willie Castro and Isaac Paredes, so that get nine games this week. So there's just a bunch of different hitters. It's all about your preference. I'm sorry, the Tigers get eight games. It's all about your preference of what you need. So if you need the speed, then you go this way. If you need, you know, stability with batting average or, you know, whatever, RBIs, power, then you go maybe a different direction, and Oscar Mercado isn't your guy, or Roman and Quinn if he's still healthy. So it's really dependent on your category. So make sure that you're looking at your league standings to see what you're deficient in or what you're strong in, and to see where you can capitalize there, and then try and get the guys that are going to be able to provide those stats and categories on teams that are playing, you know, seven, eight, nine games. So that's kind of what I'm looking to do this weekend.
Matthew, I want to ask you a question about a guy that you highlighted there, Shogo Akiyama. He's a guy I was really high on, sub 250 ADP during draft season. A guy that we thought would play a lot of outfield spots for the Reds, often center field, but really showed a keen batting eye before coming over to Major League Baseball in the U.S. I think he was a five-time batting champion and all-star overseas. Have you seen much of Akiyama to understand? I mean, it looks like he's often batting at the bottom of the lineup for the Reds, which is the only thing that gives me pause. Do you feel like he's turning things around a little bit? Because I think you're totally right. He kind of gives you a lot of that overall combo and a little bit of speed. But are you buying into Akiyama more now? Because, you know, he was a guy I really liked but was honestly just disappointed with earlier in the year.
I actually am. I cut him in a couple of spots last week, and it's bitten me in the ass because that eye you're talking about and the plate discipline, we've seen it this last week with a 353 OBP, and he has stolen two bases. So he has three stolen bases in the last 2 weeks.
Got it.
And I think, you know, maybe he's turning that corner. Sure. I don't think he's not going to get that leadoff spot back in the Cincinnati Reds lineup, at least right away. That's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to work on that maybe for a week or more. But if he does continue with the 350 OBP moving forward and he does show that plate discipline along with that speed, then I do think he's going to be viable and helpful down the road. So, you know, it is if you need speed, because the power and all that, what, you know, RBIs and power, that's not there. And the batting average really isn't either. So it's pretty much a need for speed on Akiyama.
You know, what's disappointing is that's a team I think that we all are really excited about. And it's, you look at that team and they are terrifying if they get into the postseason with Sonny Gray, Trevor Bauer, Luis Castillo, and that lineup. Hopefully they'll turn some things around. And Akiyama's a fun fantasy asset too. So really good call out there from you, Matthew. The only other one that you got a lot of good names. I want to put you on the spot a little bit. What are your thoughts on Willy Castro of the Tigers? Interesting player, seems to have a ton of talent, and these Tigers are playoff hunting. In what situation are you maybe throwing a small bid on a guy like Willy Castro?
Well, the Tigers play 8 games, and Nico Goodrum was just placed on the IL. So playing time isn't going to be a concern. I know that that was kind of something that was lingering a little bit last week with only 6 at-bats. But this week we've had 20 at-bats. And he is just crushing the ball. He's hitting 400 this week, and they get 8 games next week. He now has a .345 average on the season. I like him, and I like the schedule for them this week. So for me, he's somebody I'm looking to add. He's third base shortstop eligible, which gives you the middle infield, corner infield eligibility as well. And I mean, what's not to like with somebody that's going to give people multi-position eligible, playing 8 games this week, and he could very well play all 8 games. So,
absolutely.
Some Willy Castro. Give me some Isaac Paredes. Give me any fucking Tiger. That's, you know, they're starting every day now because they're banged up. Jacoby Jones is gone and Nico Goodrum's gone. So the depth that they have isn't there, and they didn't really have depth to begin with. So those guys are now basically everyday, you know, players.
It feels like injuries are coming in spades on this team. CJ Cron also got hurt on that Tigers team. Mm-hmm. And now they're all getting some playing time. And interestingly, the guys that are getting playing time are interesting. To me, I like Willy Castro also because he's batting 5th. Last 4 games, he's batted 5th. They faced 6 right-handers the last 6 games. He's an interesting one to me for sure. So I like that call out too. I think he could really produce in some short spots for sure. Let's talk about pitchers, Matthew, because there's some interesting names on this list as well. You've talked a lot about Alex Young, the hurler for the Diamondbacks. He seems to clearly be a part of that rotation moving forward. We've got some guys, as you're looking at trying to spec some saves, there's a lot of interesting names, and I'd be curious to get how you're kind of prioritizing the likes of Greg Holland's in there, Jose Cisnero of the Tigers is in there, Kevin Ginkle, who I think a lot of us liked in the preseason for the Diamondbacks. Archie Bradley was traded to the Reds this week, so he may have an opportunity at some saves. And then you've got Yoshishi Hirano of the Mariners. That's also an option as well. So let's talk first, Matthew, if you don't mind. Tell me about if you need or just want to have some insurance from a reliever perspective. Who do you like out of that group, and who would you prioritize if you've only got a little bit of chunk of fab left? Who are you spending it on?
Okay, I'm going to break all those guys down, and I'll try and rank them somewhat. But in regards to Alex Young real quick, so he gets another start today, and I'm expecting it to be – I think it is today, and I'm expecting it to be a decent one. And next week he gets the Seattle Mariners, and they have a 26.8% strikeout rate against left-handed pitching. And we've seen Young get stretched out further and further into each game. So I do like him moving forward. And on our last podcast, we mentioned his remaining schedule, and it was quite favorable. So he's somebody I would look to add. And then going into those closers or potential closers slash relievers that you did mention, I believe Hirano is now the guy there in Seattle that Taylor Williams has been traded. What's the situation on, do you know, on Aroldis Chapman's suspension, the 3 games or whatever it was, when he's going to serve it?
Yeah, he appealed. He's not immediately serving it. My gut says he may appeal and get us. I read, you know, he's going to appeal and likely get it reduced to 2 games. So the hard part with that, right, is then you're doing a box balancing act in an NFBC style format where is it if you're wrong and he misses 3, that's roughly half of your week in NFBC. So that's a challenge, right?
Yeah, it is. So I have Zach Britton mentioned as well, just because if he does serve those 3 games and maybe, you know, they, I don't know, have give him a bullpen session or whatever when he returns, that maybe Zach Britton's a closer for majority of next week. And we've seen him do some good things there. His teammate Chad Green has been decent out of the bullpen as well. So both of those guys, I think, could be viable this upcoming week. And then so Buck Farmer, Jose Cincinnero. Those are two guys we've seen come into the games late for the Tigers. I think Soto was going to be the closer, or was the closer until he had a bad outing. And then yesterday, Soto came in and only faced one batter and got 1 strikeout. And that was like in the 6th inning. And we saw Cincinnero get the save opportunity against the Twins, and then he blew it. So Buck Farmer may be the next guy up. But we've seen him just continuously get those 8th innings and high leverage situations for the Tigers for the most part. So I'm not sure that they remove him from that. Maybe they go back to Soto. Maybe they give Cincinnero another shot. So Soto, Farmer, and Cincinnero are 3 guys that if, you know, you're balling on a budget, so to speak, then maybe you throw a couple bucks at, you know, each of those guys in contingencies, and hopefully you get one and maybe they're the one moving forward. Felix Pena got a save yesterday for the Angels, but then we also saw Ty Buttrey come in and redeem himself after blowing one a couple days ago against the Astros, and he also got a save. So Felix Pena has been pretty solid as well. So I think that maybe you could speculate there. Greg Holland got the save for the Royals since Trevor Rosenthal was traded. And we have one more, Kevin Ginkle for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I like him, and I think that he is going to be their closer. I think we've already seen him get a save opportunity there, or pitch at least in the 9th inning and in late high leverage situations late in the games. So Kevin Ginkle is somebody that I'm going to be looking to add above all of these guys. And then Tony Watson is another one. We saw him get the last save opportunity with Rogers over there just doing another complete 180 and shitting the bed all week. So there's some guys that could be getting saves this upcoming week and for the rest of the season. And I'm not sure any of them are going to cost too much just because there are some uncertainties. I think people will feel pretty confident in regards to Kevin Ginkle. You know, all of these guys will likely get bidded on outside of, I don't know, the murky Detroit Tigers situation. Maybe all those guys just belong on free agency instead of, you know, speculating. So
Matthew, one name I didn't push you on that I think could be interesting, and it's a team that's involved in a very heated chase, not only for a division, they should make the playoffs, but definitely within their division, is Michael Pineda of the Minnesota Twins. He is officially available to be bid on in all leagues in the NFBC format. He was available in TGFBI since we already drafted, but he was not available in any of those. So I think some people may have forgotten about him. Took his first start, allowed 2 runs in 6 innings against the White Sox, and honestly, he looked really, really freaking good. I think a lot of people were interested in him this offseason, but then everything got messed up and he was serving a suspension. What are you thinking about Michael Pineda, and consider the fact that I think he's a two-stepper, right? Today's the 6th, which means he starts tomorrow for the Twins. What are you thinking about Pineda?
I like him. Yes, so tomorrow he gets the Tigers, and then at the end of next weekend he gets the Indians, and both of those are home starts for the Twins. So by this next weekend against the Indians after the Tigers start, he should probably be good enough to be in line for shit, he already went 6 innings in his last game. I thought he only went like 5 or 4, but wow. Okay, so he was already stretched out and ready to go. I think I was underestimating how many innings he went, so he's going to be very popular this week as well. The teams that do have money and are needing, which everybody should need starting pitching, it's likely going to spend a little bit more than, you know, the average amount of money that is remaining in your league. So he's going to be somebody that's also highly touted as a starting pitcher. And then there's instead of the starting pitchers like Michael Pineda, and his 2 starts are pretty juicy as well. I'd like to see his strikeout rate go back up, but it's not as much as a concern because he does have such an elite walk rate. Is there's guys like Luis Patino. So he's kind of a middle reliever that you can see come in, you know, in the fourth, fifth inning, and he can vulture a win. I know that most of his some of his outings have been kind of up and down, but he does have the high pedigree, and he's projected to be one of the more stable starters in the San Diego Padres rotation in 2021 and 20, you know, moving forward in the future. But we've seen him pitch two innings, two and a third innings, and the San Diego Padres get a decent amount of games this week. They get seven, and so you could see him, if especially because he pitched yesterday, he most likely won't pitch today. If he comes in on Monday, you could get potentially six, seven innings out of him this week, and he does have a high strikeout rate and high strikeout upside, and he gets all of his all the games they're playing at home in San Diego, and it's against the Rockies and the Giants. So somebody like that, if you have two, you're starting two closers, you're not pressed for saves, and you pretty much like, you know, you have a weak spot or two in your pitching, and you don't have another starter that you want to roll out there because it, the matchup's bad, the ballpark's bad, or whatever, there might be, you know, the results have been poor, then somebody like Patino could be a guy to just fill in this week and hope for five to six innings, vulture a win, and get, you know, more, a K per nine or above that, actually. So I'm kind of looking at guys like that that are going to be playing seven, eight, nine games, come in the fifth, sixth inning, pitch a couple of innings this week, and hopefully vulture a win along the way with some strikeout upside.
All right. Let's move on to 12-team hitters. There are some names that I think we haven't probably spent a ton of time on. So real quickly, I'm going to mention a few that stick out to me, and certainly please dive in on anything that maybe I haven't mentioned. Brandon Belt of the Giants just continues to hit the shit out of the baseball, even after they've left Coors Field. He's an interesting name for me. We talked a little bit about, I think, last week, Cam Gallagher at the catcher spot. He's an interesting name if you need some volume at catcher. Another name is Garrett Cooper of the Marlins, continues to be interesting, along with Heimer Candelario, as we talked about those Tigers a bunch. Those are the names for me, Matthew, in that range that maybe have some availability in 12-team leagues. Any thoughts specifically on any of those guys that I mentioned or anybody else that you're really going to take a stab at in that format?
Yeah, the Marlins. So what you should do in your 12-team leagues, if you're in the RotoWire Online Championship or any 12-team league for that matter, go to your free agency and do this after you get a pen and paper and write down all the guys that you're willing to cut. So look at the upcoming schedule and look to see which hitters are fringe for you. And if they're borderline and they don't have that many games, write them down as a cut. And then go to free agency and pull up the teams, go to each one, and you can filter free agency per team. So go to Miami Marlins and check out who's available there. So I'll do that right now. So in one of my RotoWire Online Championships, we're going to go there. And just looking at the ownership percentages at 50% and below, so Garrett Cooper, you mentioned him. Miguel Rojas is another one. The Miami Marlins get nine games this week. So somebody like Garrett Cooper, who's hitting cleanup in their lineup, is just so valuable this week. I know that he get scratched? Yeah, he did get scratched from the starting lineup on Saturday due to a quad, but it's not sounding to be too severe. So definitely keep up on the news on Garrett Cooper this week, or today, I should say, on Sunday, to see if he's in the lineup today. So if he is in the lineup, he's only 20% owned in the online championship. He needs to be owned everywhere this week and started. There's just too many games to be played, and if he is healthy and playing, he's going to be playing, hitting in the heart of that Miami Marlins lineup, and they have nine games. He's first base outfield eligible, so he's multi-position eligible for you. And if there's other guys, like I know that Corey Dickerson got cut in one of my main events 2 weeks ago when we picked him up, so I'm excited to start him next week. His ownership percentage is like 83%, so he's available in some leagues as well. Jesus Aguilar might be available in your league. So any of those guys, I want, you know, all of them if I can. I'll add every single one of them if I could, honestly, because of the amount of games that they play. And the offense is competent, and they can get the job done. So that's just what I'm doing this week, Matt. I'm just seriously pounding those teams. Then I'll go over to the Rangers and the Cardinals and the Tigers and the Athletics and the Phillies. And I'm just going to go up and down like Jay Bruce. There's another one that pops. Any of them. If Tommy La Stella was traded to the A's, What's his ownership percentage? It's 99% in the OC, so he's not available. But in your home league, if Tommy Listell is available this weekend, the Athletics get 9 games. He's now hitting second in the A's lineup. Add him.
Yep.
So, I think, you know, I know that we talk about NFBC all the time, but, you know, some of these guys might be available in your home league. So just do that. Make sure that you're, you know, you're scanning all of that.
No, I think that's a very good point, Matthew. I think it's trying to really understand the volume component is huge right now. And it's looking at, in a roto format with 3 weeks to go, how many players are how many categories are you deficient in? And volume is huge right now, right? So take a look at those categories, see where you may be available, see where you may be deficient, and go from there. I think it's a great point for sure.
Yep, Miguel Cabrera, Matt Carpenter. I know they're old bums in your eyes, but or to most people's eyes, but the Cardinals get 8 games, Tigers get 8 games. They DH pretty much every day, so.
Yep. Yeah. No, I agree. Moving down to pitchers.
Wait, real quick. And your boy Brad Miller is still available in some spots. Yeah. So fucking add that guy. Hitting cleanup and raking still. Yeah. I only got a share, I think, in an online championship, but I didn't get any in the main event, which is a huge bummer. So,
Well, you definitely helped me. I think he's got.
I'm rooting you guys on.
Three or four home runs this week alone, which is pretty awesome. So huge, huge day. And the Cardinals again, they're in one of those teams, Matthew, that you mentioned. They've got a lot of volume. So if somebody made a mistake and cut, you know, if you were smart enough and somebody cut Paul DeJong in a weird roster spot, or you've got other spots, take a look at those guys because they're going to have a ton of volume to fire in from that perspective. As we talk about pitchers, I think a lot of the names that we've highlighted already, we've discussed. The biggest one, though, I think, Matthew, is that I think Jose Urquidy is making a start in a doubleheader today for the Astros. Tell me about Urquidy. It's a guy you were really high on prior to the season. Unfortunately, he was a COVID-19 positive case, and you know, he had a real rough time getting back from that. What are you thinking about Urquidy, and how much money are you willing to spend on him?
So the Houston Astros and the Anaheim Angels played a doubleheader late last night. You were definitely sleeping by the time.
I'm sorry.
By that time. Yeah, and Jose Urquidy went 3 2/3 in that game. So it was yesterday. That was the doubleheader on Saturday. And he allowed 4 hits, 3 walks, 2 earned runs, and only registered 2 strikeouts. So it wasn't, you know, a huge ringing endorsement. But that can be good sometimes because you shouldn't expect him to just roll out of, you know, camp and, you know, go in there and throw 5 shutout innings against an Angels team that seems to be, you know, starting to score some runs. Urquidy threw 63 pitches. So I think if the performance and results were a little bit better, he would have went at least 75, 80. So if he performs a little bit better in his next outing, I think that you can expect him to go a little bit deeper. Let me pull up his start real quick. It is against – his next start will be against the Los Angeles Dodgers, so good fucking luck. But after that, I think that his schedule does get easy. I believe I mentioned it to you on our last podcast, Matt, and it does – so he has 3 starts left and – or possibly 4, I'm sorry – and one's against the Dodgers. So after that, maybe people will look at that and they will still temper their expectations. But he could possibly be somebody that does help you that those last 2 weeks of the season, and maybe even against the Dodgers, because he does have the talent and the skills to do it. And the Houston Astros and Dusty Baker will let their pitchers, once they are stretched out, go deep if they're pitching well. So I do like him as well, and Jose Urquidy is 53% owned right now in the online championships, but he's pretty much owned everywhere in the NFBC main event, so not available there.
Matthew, what would you do? So a guy like a guy I think that we've all owned and probably been burned on in the past is Vince Velasquez of the Phillies. With the way the schedule lines up for the Phillies, he actually appears to be a two-stepper, but he has not been a guy. He's got a 6.60 ERA. He's facing Boston Tuesday, potentially, and the Marlins next Sunday. Would you rather take a stab at a guy like Urquidy, or would you value the volume of a guy like Velasquez, even though it may be a little bit of ugly volume with Velasquez?
Well, that's a perfect segue because or question and segue, because I wanted to talk about two-start pitchers, and the ones that are owned are pretty legit for the most part. And then the ones that are available, It looks like they could hurt you pretty badly this next week. So I wrote in the article, it discusses how some of these two-start pitchers, especially if you're, you know, really scratching for strikeouts and wins right now and you're needing volume in starting pitching, that you might just go to look to add some of these guys and it could end up hurting you, like Kyle Cody, Vince Velasquez, Michael Wacha. Michael Wacha gets a start against the Phillies and then at Buffalo against the Blue Jays. And so it's, I would really tread with caution this week when it comes to some of those guys. Alec Mills might be available, but he gets the Reds and the Brewers. I would not look to go add Vince Velasquez with those matchups just because he has two starts. And I mean, when was the last time he went five innings to even qualify for a win? So that's like the first thing you need to look at some of those guys. Like I would rather roll Patino over Velasquez this week, right? He's not.
You're totally right, Matthew. I was looking at the names myself, and at this point, it can kind of go the other way too, right? I mean, you want to manage your ratios, and if you've got strong ratios, you don't need to take the chance on some of these guys. And honestly, you're exactly right. You can get burned as badly as you can get added to your rotation. So in some spots, it probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, and if you do have solid rotations, what I would do this week is look at guys like Zach Britton. Is Zach Britton available this week? Maybe he gobbles up a couple saves and gives you solid ratios. I'd want to keep everything tight right there and not get desperate for those wins and strikeouts. I know everything's tight and you might be in the middle or the bottom part, but look ahead the week again and see who you have the week. I know that there's only a few weeks left and it's like, well, I don't have that much time left to buy, but man, if they go out there and get rocked and leave early, it's going to crush you more than anything. And that's going to be so tilting this late in the season. So I would rather just try and, I know it's a sprint, but I would still just try and, I would still try and stay tight with those ratios along the way, because those are so, so, so valuable. Let your opponents this week and then in the next couple of weeks, let them make the mistakes of rostering Michael Wacha against the Phillies and the Blue Jays and watch them drop. Well, you might not even have to rise to rise, because if you don't fall and they do, you're gaining points. And so that alone is valuable as well. So be cautious and, you know, don't be too desperate. And just, I don't know, do you swipe left or right on the dating apps? What do you do there? Is it left if you're a yes, or is it right?
I'm a lot older than you. And
you've been married probably longer than me. Let's say left is yes. Let's just hypothetically. Don't swipe left on all these two-star guys this week just because they're two-stars. Don't be desperate. Just do something else. There's other viable guys like the Luis Patinos and something like that can help you along the way.
For sure.
And they won't cost as much. They're cheap.
That's the best part. They're going to be cheap. There's going to be some super cheap guys that go this week that you'll say, you know, as you put your bids in, oh, man, I wish I would have put that bid in. Don't forget, put those secondary bids in, because you'll be surprised at some of these guys that you're able to get, but it's hard to get them if you don't bid on them. So.
Yep. So there is, real quick on the two steps before we close out, one fun fact. There are 5 Zachs, spelt 3 different ways, having two steps this week. I thought that was interesting because I have an OCD, so I type mostly everything. The names, the players, and the teams are all in alphabetical order. So I know I'm sick.
I dig it.
Yeah, if you look at the bottom there at the two starts, there are 5 Zachs going. Zach Gallen, Eflin, Plesac, Greinke, and Wheeler next week. So that was just a fun fact. I know.
I like it.
Nobody gives a shit, but. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back again next week. Oh, I have some exciting news to announce real quick, Matt, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing a fantasy football fab article as well. And since Fab locks on Wednesdays and Saturday evenings, I'll be producing those articles Tuesday and Friday. So they'll be coming out a day prior, 24 to 36 hours prior to Fab locking. And then I'll also be having a twice a week, a podcast called the FTN Fabcast. And that's going to be just touching nothing on fantasy football fab. So similar to what you and I do over here, Matt, on this podcast, I'll be doing it for football at the FTN Fabcast. Yeah, and on Tuesday evenings, I'll be joined every Tuesday evening with Chris Meany. and he's one of our colleagues as well. And I'm really excited to be working with him and talking with him about FAB. And the Friday door is somewhat open, so we're going to be having colleagues and guests come and join me on Friday evenings. And yeah, we'll have the Friday podcast kind of be fun since it is Friday night. And you know, what else is there to do right now during a pandemic than hang out on a Friday evening and geek out talking fantasy football during the fall and winter? So I've got that coming up, and I'm really looking forward to starting that. What do you have going on?
Just working on my article for Number Fire today. I actually saw your announcement yesterday and thought, man, I got to talk to Matthew about getting on one of these Friday night podcasts for fantasy football so I can talk to you and Meanie, and it'll be good, though. It'll be fun. You guys will do a great job. Looking forward to it for sure. I actually have fantasy football drafts. I had one last night. I have one tonight, and I have one tomorrow. So I'm using all of our tools over at FTN Fantasy. If you haven't noticed, Matthew and I – on Twitter or Instagram, our promo codes now are 10% off instead of 5%, which is awesome news for the listener. So please, my code is CUP. Matthew, what's your code? Is it Davis?
Yep, that's correct. D-A-V-I-S. Just use one of our promo codes at checkout, and you will get 10% off a subscription. The tools are awesome. I'm excited to use the projections for DFS are going to be really, really good. Some of those guys over there just they win too much fucking money for their own good. But they're extremely sharp, and everything that they've been putting together, I've already used the FTN Fantasy Draft Guide, the projections, and the rankings actually for – I've done over 10 NFFC leagues, and I've done the NFFC Primetime already. I've done one of those drafts, and that's a $1,700 entry. And I legit just used everything from our website, and I love the team. So, you know, it looks good on paper. Yep.
Yeah. It's really good stuff. Great call out, Matthew. Our guides and everything are truly incredible over there. So go check it out. I know I've already been using it to prep because, admittedly, Matthew, I have not done as much prep as I would normally do for a fantasy football season, but I am getting into that mode, and the tools made things so super simple for me. So,
do you know your draft picks, or are they off?
I have two auctions because we converted, because auction truly in my mind, and I will fight you if you want to argue with me, but auction is an awesome format in any sport, but it's very fun in football. So it's auction stuff that I'm getting ready for the most part. I do have a snake draft tomorrow, and I'm trying to consider in my brain if I want to enter some NFFC stuff because I've been playing in the NFFC for football for a couple years now. Just trying to get my mind wrapped around that one. But I'm starting to get into that mode now at this point, getting excited. So
yeah, I absolutely love the fantasy football auctions. I did one with Zach Betancourt, and that was a $500 fantasy football auction. And then today I have my home league fantasy football auction. That's a 14 team auction. And then tomorrow I have another auction, and that's actually a home league of Vlad Sedlers. And one of our colleagues, Russ Prentice, is in it. Scott Genstad is in it. And there's a couple other guys that are in it, and it's somehow a home league. So I think it's a blend of some.
It doesn't sound like home to me.
Down south. Yeah, it doesn't sound too comforting, does it?
No.
So I have another auction today at noon, which is in 5.5 hours. I'm looking forward to that. And I might actually jump into one more NFFC primetime too. I get real itchy right before the season kicks off. I do it every fucking year. I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'm done. I did it. The day before, the day of, I'm dropping another $1,700 into a league. So.
Well, good luck to you on your drafts. Please go check out, use our promo codes. And everybody, thanks as always for listening. We have an awesome guest coming up this week on Wednesday. It's Alex Fast of Pitcher List fame. We are probably going to super nerd out and dive in on pitching, but we want to get Alex's thoughts across the board. So we will post it on Twitter. But if you've got questions, hit Matthew and I up. We'd love to ask Alex how he's doing, what he's thinking, and we'll go from there.
Awesome. And I have so many questions myself. I'm going to be throwing some pitchers myself that I want to know about to Alex. I cannot wait to have him on. So awesome. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we will be back next week with Alex Fast. Have a good weekend.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with the two Matts. Please rate, subscribe, and review the podcast, and we hope you listen again soon.